Okay, so our next speaker is Henry Chow and his colleagues over at Saskatchewan. Thank you.
Okay, continuing on the theme of saltwater repellency, I'd like to first acknowledge the co-authors on this study, Trent Pernitsky and Asim Biswa, and my supervisor, Big Cheng Si, and then their affiliations. I'll be talking a little bit about saltwater content, determination of a critical saltwater content, and water repellency in soils. So if we look at just the saltwater cycle, we know that as precipitation, it infiltrates into the soil surface, it becomes incorporated into soil water storage, or else it is lost into deep drainage. But the soil water in soil water storage is available for root water uptake. Now, if we look at some of the hydrological cycles or properties, we know that runoff, infiltration, surface evaporation, and macropore flow can influence how much water is infiltrating the soil surface. And a common phenomenon that affects these processes is soil water repellency. So soil water repellency, by definition, the simplest definition, is that your soil is not going to wet. Water is just going to bead on the soil surface. This will drastically affect your water movements, such as decreasing your infiltration, and as Davis was discussing, increase your evaporation, cause preferential flow paths, also cause runoff scenarios. So with classification of soil water repellency, we know that water-repellent soils usually have contact angles greater than 90 degrees. Wettable soils or non-water-repellent soils have contact angles at 0 degrees. And then there's a subcritical range where there's partial entry into soil, but it's still impeded. And that's at 0 to 90 degrees. So the measurement scenarios for soil water repellency is measuring the degree of soil water repellency is measured by the contact angle formed by the water droplet on the soil surface, and also the persistency, which is the time it takes for water to enter the soil surface. But also we know that we can determine a critical soil water content, and this is the determination point where the soil becomes wettable. And this can be easily measured by the contact angles with specific soil water contents. Now, like Derek was saying, it's a worldwide phenomenon. We expect that all soils should have a critical water content, whether it's 0% or a little bit larger. We know that it affects many different types of industries, such as agriculture, forestry, and also turf grass. We also know that reclamation is a critical area where soil water repellency becomes a problem because we're destroying the soil surface. So it's important to look in natural and reclaimed systems and how soil water repellency affects those. So just to kind of conclude where we're moving towards is we know that all soils should exhibit some degree of repellency, and thus they should have a critical water content. And what are the implications of having a critical water content for reclamation or natural systems? So the purpose of this study was to determine the critical water content in a variety of different types of soils, some in the natural site, some in the industrial site, and some in an agriculture site. The sites we selected was in northeastern Alberta, where there's a lot of oil sands mining, and in central Saskatchewan, where we have a lot of agriculture field, and that's a semi-arid climate. So in the Athabasca oil sands regions, we selected 5 undisturbed natural sites. These are jack pine, very nutrient-poor sites, deep drainage, but they all showed some degree of repellency in the site. And then for our reclaims, mainly they're coarse-grain sandy soil material. Compositions are different between the site, but they follow the same trend, and we see repellency in all those 5 sites. So we selected these sites because they're coarse, textured, nutrient-poor, and they previously showed the presence of soil repellency. We took a bulk soil sample, and we also selected some agriculture soils to apply a textural contrast and to see the impact of soil repellency in an agriculture soil. And the 2 sites we selected were a clay loam textured and a sandy loam textured site, which was recently cropped with canola. But you can see that there's repellency observed on the bottom right. So in creating soil water contents, different soil water contents to test for repellency, we applied it by spraying and shaking and allowing 24 hours to equilibrate. That provide the best estimate for our water contents. And we also took some gravimetric water content measurements after the fact because some of the water was lost. And then for our contact angle measurements, we applied this soils onto a double adhesive glass slide, used a PGX gonometer, applied 4 microliters of distilled water, and we did multiple measurements, 25 measurements per gravimetric water content, and the experiments were replicated once. So with the contact angle measurement, there is issues with measuring droplets because the soil surface is not homogeneous. So we use the LBADSA method, which uses the Young's Laplace transform, fitting the whole drop profile. The measurements were done at 25 degrees and 85 relative humidity to minimize evaporation. And if we look at one of the natural sites, these are the kind of graphs we obtained. So we have contact angles on the left and water content on the bottom. This is natural site one. We see that as we apply water droplet on the soil surface at more dry conditions, and as we subsequently go to higher water contents, you hit a critical point where the water will spread across the surface or infiltrate. And that's our critical water content. So it follows this sort of trend. Now, if we look at our other natural sites, it does follow the same sort of trends. We have a high degree of water repellency at the beginning, but with increasing water content, you hit a critical point at 0.8%. And in our next natural site, the same kind of scenario. And also, in our other natural sites, those Jack Pine sites, you see we're getting these types of the same scenario again, hitting the critical water content as we increase. Now, if you look at our reclaim sites, the first one, we see we hit the critical water content. Some of the second reclaim site, we see that we don't hit the critical water content a little bit further, about 20%. So that's pretty high for this site. And it may be due to the composition of the repellent material. As we move to another reclaim site, we see we do hit the critical water content. And also with this reclaim site, number four, we see the critical water content is hit pretty soon. But we also see that in another reclaim site, we don't really hit the critical water content past, I think that's about 15. So there is a higher critical water content for some of the reclaim sites. So don't really hit it there. Now if we look at our agriculture sites, we're hitting the same trend. We're hitting a critical water content. And in this sample, we never really hit the critical water content. So if we look at how we can find the critical water content, some soils would have a high critical water content at like oven-dry conditions, but then it would hit the critical water content as it increases moisture. We'd have a different scenario where it would decrease a little bit slower. And then we would also have some more persistent critical water contents that would end up. So if we look at just the initial degree measurement at the beginning and critical water content, we see that some would have a high degree of water repellency at the beginning, but the critical water content would be reached pretty rapidly. And these would give a more indication of implications in terms of how do you reclaim these types of scenarios, runoff situations. The other thing with these is a high degree of water repellency does not equate to always a large degree in critical water content, as observed by 111 and 2%. So that kind of proves that possibly there'd be a the repellent material might degrade a little bit faster in one material or be more reversible in one material than another. So we know that soils have critical water content. There's differences between natural reclaimed and agriculture soils, but the differences maybe not is more related to the cause of the repellent material. We know that a large degree of repellency does not equate to a larger soil critical water content, and we assume that the cause of soil water impellency is the result of the differences in these critical water contents between these samples. So the implications, with the reclamation soils, we know that we would have a soil profile, there's oil on the bottom, we would remove the trees, we would stockpile all the material on land, and then it would be exposed to sun. You get a lot of evaporation off the soil surface that dries up this LFH and organic material that you would put back onto a cover. So that's excessive drying. Then we would put it back onto a cover, and with precipitation you get a lot more runoff situations because you're hitting that, you're past the critical water content. You're not getting much infiltration on the surface. The other thing is the placement of the organic layer that has reached critical water, is more drier, so it hasn't reached the critical water content, will cause more preferential flow through the soil profile. So additionally, with the agriculture soils, it would be important to examine the critical water content in terms of irrigation scheduling and nutrient management, so you're not losing your water and not losing the nutrients through runoff or preferential flow paths to deep profile. So I would like to acknowledge some of the people that helped, Amanda Hunter, Tom King, and summer students that helped with this, some of the organizations that funded this project, and the Tribal Award for allowing me to come here. Thank you. Questions?
We have time for a couple questions. Yep.
I'm curious why you
So we use gravimetric because we were preparing the soil samples, and when you do the sessile drop method, you're applying a thin layer, so we're not making a core or packing it. So we use gravimetric in terms, it's very difficult to make a uniform sample, so we have just a very thin layer on a slide. So gravimetric was kind of the preferred because you can't really get a bulk density on a thin layer.
Other questions? I'm wondering if you could just comment on the effect the temperature is going to have if you were to apply this out in the field, especially up in Canada.
Oh, okay. I think with the agriculture stuff, like we did our study, took the sample later in the field, in terms of temperature when it's drier in the summer, so there's more water repellency. But if you look in the spring when it's all the snow melt, you're not going to have issues with water repellency. But what do you mean by temperature?
Like summertime versus wintertime.
Oh, okay. So usually after the winter you get the snow melt. You're not going to see much of it. I would assume the repellency would show up more in the summer season.
Mm-hmm. So that's when you get more runoff.
Then. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then if you see some of the samples had a high degree of repellency at 20%, mm-hmm. you know, and you would stockpile the sample, and if you don't maintain that critical water content, you're going to place it on the soil surface, it's always going to run off mm-hmm. until you reach that critical water content, and you won't have those scenarios
okay.
occurring.
Yeah. All right, great. Other questions? Okay, thank you.